Chapter 3 Concepts and Factors of Organizations in Relation to Problem Solving. A description of this chapter. This chapter starts with some definitions of the term organization. Then a complex organization is defined and it is compared and contrasted with a living organism. The comparison and contrast resulted in 31 factors that relate to a complex organization. The factors suggest a multidisciplinary perspective. A problem-solving methodology was created with these factors, by producing a set of questions that relate to each factor. The idea is to answer the questions that are relevant to a specific organizational problem. This is done in writing with a computer with word processing software. The answers are then arranged into a report, which contains possible solutions to an organizational problem. Then the solutions are tested, and modified if necessary, to produce a truly effective solution to the problem. A discussion of concepts and factors of organizations in relation to problem solving. What is an organization? A simple and rather general definition from the Glossary of Organizational Behavior, by Stephen P. Robbins, is organization when a consciously coordinated social unit, composed of two or more people, that functions on a relatively continuous basis to achieve a common goal or set of goals. This was a quote. This can be reworded into an even simpler definition as follows. An organization is people working together on common objectives on an ongoing basis. Working together implies a consciously coordinated social unit in the simplified wording. The above definitions are quite general. They would include the family, a social club with a common set of goals, a small business comprised of two or more people, and a giant corporation. With these general definitions, even a nation can be defined as an organization. The general definitions do make sense, because there is a common set of principles that apply to all of the above. For example, a giant corporation and the family both involve the following factors: management, communications, motivation, economics, purchasing goods and services, etc. And many of the same basic principles of psychology, social psychology, and sociology apply both to the corporation and the family. Thus, the general concept of an organization is quite valuable, but it might be useful and interesting to create some new definitions and elaborations, which is done in the following paragraphs. What most people probably think about when they hear the term organization is a corporation that employs 50 or more people that work on a common or related set of goals. This can be called a corporate organization. However, most organizations, including corporate entities, are more than just an organization of people. Our society functions with organized units of people, machines, tools, physical workspace, and a constant input of energy and materials to produce a product or service. The above defines a concept that is potentially quite useful. I will call this concept the complex organization. That is, a complex organization involves people, machines, tools, and the physical workspace, which is organized to perform a set of goals, on an ongoing basis. In the following paragraphs, I will discuss some of the properties of the complex organization. Keep in mind the definition described above. I will use the word organization for a synonym for complex organization in the remainder of this chapter. To achieve its goals, the complex organization must have a constant input of energy and materials. To obtain the energy, materials, and to compensate the workers, a constant input of money is needed. Obtaining enough money for the above is usually one of the primary goals of the complex organization. If energy, materials, or workers, or the money to pay for these entities are scarce, the organization will go into a state of disorder. If this state of disorder reaches a certain level, the organization will in effect die. The complex organization, in certain ways, is similar to an organism, but of course it is not in any sense a living entity. However, making a detailed comparison with an organism is quite interesting and serves as a mnemonic device for the properties of a complex organization, which will be seen in the following paragraphs. When reading these comparisons, think of a non-human organism, such as a chimpanzee, living in a primitive environment that is not influenced or contaminated by civilization. Think of the organism in terms of a set of organized cellular structures, such as cells or organs, forming the living entity. The complex organization must have an input of energy and materials to maintain its existence, just like a living organism. The entities that comprise a complex organization, the people, the machinery, the tools, the workplace, do not define its existence. If all of the above were changed over an extended period of time, the organization would still exist. For example, the Ford Motor Company changed most, if not all, of its equipment, personnel, and physical work sites since it started in 1903. But it is still the Ford Motor Company. This principle is seen in living things also. An organism gradually changes its structure over time. The original material that the organism was made of is gradually excreted and replaced with new material, but it is still the same organism. The complex organization, just like a living organism, excretes waste products. Living organisms are sensitive to their external and internal environments, and so are complex organizations. This sensitivity is the result of various types of sensing devices. In the living organism, the external sensing devices include the eyes, ears, nose, and skin. The internal sensing device of the living organism registers variations in glucose, oxygen, carbon dioxide, blood pressure, body temperature, etc. The sensing devices of the complex organization include both human beings and machines that monitor the various components and dynamics of the organization. For example, the chief executive officer, board of directors, marketing analysts, managers, and foremen are workers that perform the sensing function as well as other functions. The marketing analyst senses the external environment. The board of directors, or individuals assisting them, might perform internal and external monitoring of the complex organization. The managers, foremen, and other workers monitor the internal functions of the complex organization. The functions of the complex organization can also be monitored by various types of electronic equipment. This can include such devices that electronically measure sales and keep track of inventory, to equipment that measures pressure and temperature in a chemical production chamber. Both the living organism and the complex organization do much more than just monitor their internal and external environments. They sense variations in factors and respond to the change in very precise ways. The living organism will change its behavior in response to light, sound, and the smell or sight of food. If its glucose level drops, the organism might feel hungry. This will motivate a search for food. If its blood oxygen level is too low, its heart rate and respiration level will increase. If the oxygen level is too high, its respiration will be lowered. These cycles are called feedback control cycles, or cybernetic cycles. The cybernetic cycles are also a primary component of complex organizations. That is, the chief executive officer, board of directors, managers, and foremen do not just perform a sensing function. They respond to the information they sense in such a way as to control various subsystems of the complex organization. And the same is also true with certain types of equipment, which monitor and automatically control certain operations. For example, computer equipment and electronic sensors that keep track of the amount of sales of specific items will electronically order more of the quick-selling items and less of the slow-selling items. The electronic mechanisms in a chemical plant might not only monitor the temperature and pressure of the chemical chamber, but it also may automatically control both of these variables. Generally, the complex organization has human cybernetic systems such as supervisors, managers, marketing research personnel, etc., and may also have one or more non-human such as electrical cybernetic systems. The cybernetic system and other components of both living organisms and the complex organization are controlled by some type of intelligence. The word intelligence is used here in a very general way, and it includes neurological, electronic, and chemical data processing. The intelligence in the living organism includes the obvious behavioral functions associated with the higher brain centers. However, there are a number of other types of intelligence on different levels, which control internal functions. This includes the lower brain centers, which evaluate and control of heart rate, blood pressure, carbon dioxide level, etc. There is also a primitive type of chemical intelligence on the cellular level, which is involved with cellular mechanisms and operations. This chemical intelligence is involved with reproduction, enzyme manufacturing, the building of cellular structures, and the destruction of invading bacteria and viruses. The complex organization also has a number of types and levels of intelligence. There are obviously different levels of managerial intelligence, ranging from the chief executive officer, down to lower level management, and there are also different types of expertise. And just as each cell of a living entity has its own individual intelligence, each worker has its own independent intelligence. The complex organization also has intelligence from machines such as computers. The computer can in some cases even perform some managerial functions. Just as is the case with the living organism, the different types of intelligence interact with each other to make the complex organization function. And of course, a part of the intelligence of the living entity and the complex organization is the ability to learn. Thus, both living organisms and the complex organization contain many intelligent subsystems. The components of these intelligent entities include programs, which are a set of instructions needed to carry out a task. The subsystems also obviously have a memory, which retains the instructions. The programs on the cellular level of the organisms are stored in chemical structures such as DNA and RNA. At a higher level, there are programs stored in the nervous system, the brain, which is also probably stored in a chemical form. The complex organization usually stores its programs, sets of instructions, in the minds of its workers, on paper, and on computer software. The interactions of the many intelligent subsystems of a living entity and a complex organization involve communications. That is, the communications process is a primary component of both the living organism and the complex organization. There are two basic types of communications, internal and external. The internal communications are between the individual cells and organs of the living entity. The external communications involve the receiving and transmitting of information from one organism to another, such as two animals sending mating calls to each other. With a complex organization, the internal communications consist of information transmitted between people. The internal communications process also involves the exchange of information from one machine to another and from worker to machine, and vice versa. The external communications include the organization's marketing and public relations programs. In addition, correspondence, or any other information exchange from individuals, computers, or any other source outside of the organization are external communications. A very important component of most of the intelligent subsystems of living organisms and the complex organization is that they have their own goals, which are often independent of their function in the system they serve. The word goal is used in a very general way in this text. For example, each pancreas cell has the goal of maintaining its own internal metabolism, structure and its enclosing membrane, which is independent of its function of producing insulin for the organism. Of course, if the cell does not maintain itself in a high level of functionality, it cannot do its job of producing insulin. A similar situation exists between the workers of the complex organization. They have their own needs and goals that are independent of the job they do in the organization. In both the organism and the complex organization, the intelligent subsystems, such as the cell and worker, are maintained by the larger system they work for. Without the larger system, they would not be able to obtain their individual goals. For example, the pancreas cell could not maintain its metabolism, structure and surrounding membranes, and the worker could not pay her bills or buy that new car she wants. Another important idea to examine is both the cell and worker can have behavior patterns or goals that interfere with the well-being, functioning and goals of the organization. A pancreas cell can become cancerous and a worker can become an alcoholic, a saboteur and a thief. Both the organisms and organizations are influenced by many psychological factors, which include emotions. Emotional responses in the organism can motivate it to fight as with anger, or run as with fear. Various psychological factors, including emotions, can cause an organization to make inappropriate decisions. A major part of managing the organization is a good insight into the psychology of people in the work environment. Understanding the psychology of the consumer is also a major determinant in success for most organizations. Both organisms and complex organizations are in competition with similar entities. Organisms often must compete for food with other living things. They must escape from their enemies to survive. Complex organizations are usually in competition with other companies for business and top-level workers. In addition, the living entity must be strong enough to fight off disease and the organization must be strong enough to survive organizational dysfunctions, such as strikes and internal conflicts. Both the organism and organization must also deal with adverse environmental conditions. Only the strongest will survive. The weak organisms and weak organizations become extinct entities. This process is a Darwinian selection process that selects for certain survival traits, which are determined by the environment and all that it contains. Thus, we can see that the organism and the complex organization have many general processes and factors in common. However, we can obtain some additional insight by seeing how the complex organization is different from a living organism. The organization functions with money. It is governed by the legal structure of the government. A major set of factors that organizations must deal with is the law, which can change from favorable to unfavorable and vice versa. In a matter of months, organizations can be taxed heavily, be given government subsidies or lucrative contracts. This is greatly influenced by the political climate and the resulting legislation, which is a concern for the large complex organization. Organizations must plan their internal course of action to survive and obtain their goals. This process generally involves some risk-taking, such as how much money must be invested in tools, machinery and new facilities. The primary factors that determine the functioning of a complex organization are economic, legal, technological, psychological, sociological and cultural, as well as biological. The health of its workers and the production of certain raw materials, such as plant and animal products, involve biology. Thus, The complex organization is more complicated than a living entity. The organism is essentially governed by biological and psychological factors only. And of course, the organization is partly composed of the most sophisticated living entity that ever existed, human beings. The above can be summed up as follows. From the comparison and contrast of a living organism and a complex organization, the following 31 factors are revealed. The first 23 factors are common to both a living entity and an organization. 1. A need for an input of energy. 2. A need for an input of materials. 3. Its identity is independent of the entities that comprise it. The employees, machines, tools, and land that comprise a complex organization can all be changed over time without destroying the organization. And the molecules that comprise a living organism will be replaced over time without killing the organism. 4. It excretes waste products. 5. It is sensitive to its internal environment. 6. It is sensitive to its external environment. 7. It has hypnotic cycles, feedback control cycles. 8. It has different levels of intelligence. This refers to the various types of expertise found in an organization, such as different levels of management. In the organism, the higher brain centers are one level of intelligence, the lower brain centers are another level, and a type of primitive intelligence is found in its cells. 9. It has the ability to learn. 10. It contains many intelligent subsystems. The intelligent subsystems in an organization are its workers, and the intelligent subsystems of the organism include the primitive intelligence of cells. 11. Its intelligent subsystems have their own goals, which are often independent of their function in the system they serve. 12. Its subsystems can become destructive to the system. A pancreas cell can become cancerous and a worker can become an alcoholic, a thief or a saboteur. 13. Its subsystems are often dependent on the system to obtain their individual goals. 14. It contains programs, which are a set of instructions needed to carry out a task. 15. It has a memory, which retains programs. 16. It uses internal communication. 17. It uses external communication. 18. It is generally in competition with similar entities. Organizations compete with other organizations and living entities compete with other organisms. 19. It must be strong enough to deal with dysfunctions, that is, the organization must be strong enough to avoid or survive major problems, and the living entity must be strong enough to survive or resist disease. 20. It must be strong enough to deal with adverse environmental conditions. 21. The strongest entities survive and the weakest become extinct. This process is essentially a Darwinian selection process that selects for certain survival traits, which are determined by the environment and all that it contains. 22. Biological factors and dynamics are involved. 23. Psychological factors and dynamics are involved. From 24 to 31, do not apply to the organism, in the sense that the comparison was made. That is, the following factors only apply to the complex organization. 24. It is governed by the legal structure. A major set of factors that organizations must deal with is the law, which includes preventing and resolving legal problems. 25. Organizations are often changed in desirable or undesirable ways by the financial policies of government, such as taxation, government subsidies or lucrative government contracts. 26. Complex organizations are often changed in desirable or undesirable ways by the political climate and the resulting legislation. 27. Organizations must plan their internal course of action to survive and obtain their goals. 28. Economic factors and dynamics are primary components for the complex organization. 29. Technological developments and related factors are primary concerns for some complex organizations. 30. Sociological factors and dynamics are important for most organizations. 31. Cultural components and dynamics are important for most complex organizations. If something goes wrong with any of these 31 factors, the complex organization might go into a state of disorder. That is, it can develop serious problems, behave in dysfunctional ways, go into bankruptcy, etc. If such a disorderly state reaches a relatively high level, the organization might cease to exist. Most organizational problems involve one or more of the 31 factors. This suggests that the above can be used to create a problem-solving strategy for organizations, which is illustrated in the following paragraphs. The problem-solving methodology that is presented here involves answering a list of questions. The questions were created from the 31 factors discussed above, and are presented after these instructions. Then some additional questions were added to the list to make it more useful. The idea is to answer all the questions on the list that might be relevant to a specific organizational problem that you are working on. The questions must be answered in writing. A computer and word processing software should be used for this writing process. Each statement on the list with a question mark should be used as a heading. Underneath this heading there should be one or more paragraphs answering the question. Questions that are totally irrelevant, or are confusing, should be either modified so they are relevant to the problem or skipped. However, the idea is to try to relate as many questions on the list to the problem you are working on, even if the question is not totally relevant. The reason for this is that such an effort may stimulate the creative process, which can result in insight and unforeseen solutions to the problem. In a practical situation, it may be necessary to limit the number of questions answered because of time limitations. Even if a question on the list appears useful to the problem, consider modifying it to make it more relevant for the organization and the problem you are working with. Consider creating additional questions that are especially relevant to your problem. These questions should be answered in the same way as the other questions on the list. When the questions are answered as stated above in writing, the result is a written report with possible solutions to the problem. Additional data should be added to the report to improve the information it contains. The entire report should be edited and rearranged with the computer functions, if necessary, to conform to the customary style of the organization that you are working for. The paragraphs can be rearranged into a more appropriate form with the cut, paste, and copy functions found on word processing software. An additional use for this problem-solving methodology is simply to write a document about an organization, such as a term paper, a chapter on organizations for a book, etc. Writing a document is a type of problem in itself, with a completed document being the solution. The method is used the same way as described above, except the final editing and rearranging of the document is done to conform to the appropriate style, such as a term paper. Whatever the type of problem you are working on, the solutions derived with this methodology should be tested to see if they solve the problem. If none of the solutions work effectively, they should be modified so they produce the desired results. This process of testing and modifying should be continued until the problem is solved. If no solution is obtained, the entire process can be repeated. It should be understood that this methodology is designed for fairly difficult problems. The simpler difficulties that are commonly faced by an organization can most likely be solved more efficiently by conventional methods. The following are the questions used with this methodology, but there are many additional questions throughout this book that can be used with this methodology. The numbers in the following list start at -1 because the first two sets of questions were derived independently of the original 31 factors. The remainder of the questions was created with the use of the 31 factors, as can be seen from the number and the underlined heading. The underlined heading is only provided for theoretical purposes and can be ignored when the questions are answered. -1 defines the problem and possible solutions. What is the problem? Why is it a problem? How can the problem be precisely defined? Can the problem be broken up into smaller problems, which might be easier to solve? Can several problems be combined into one large problem, which might be solved more efficiently? What is your goal in relation to this problem-solving effort? What would you consider to be a solution to the problem? How many tentative solutions can you think of? 0. Official and unofficial purposes of the organization. What is the official purpose of the organization? What are the actual needs that the organization satisfies? Are there any problems with the above? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? What are the possible solutions to the problem? 1. A need for an input of energy. What are all the sources of energy that the organization uses? Are there any problems with these sources of energy? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? 2. A need for an input of materials. What are the materials needed by the organization? Are there any problems with the materials that the organization needs? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? 3. Its identity is independent of the entities that comprise it. In what ways are the organization changing? Are there any problems resulting from the changes? If so, how can these problems be remedied? How can the changing structure of the organization be controlled channel to produce a more effective and or profitable system? 4. It excretes waste products. What are all the waste products that the organization produces? Are there any problems with the waste products? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? What are the possible solutions to the problem? 5. It is sensitive to its internal environment. What sections of the organization must be watched? Which personnel require the most supervision? What processes require supervision? Are there adequate supervisory personnel? Can any of the monitoring be performed electronically? 6. It is sensitive to its external environment. How can the awareness of the officials of the organization be increased in relation to the needs of people outside the organization? How can the organization improve its awareness of its environment? Does the organization have a way of monitoring the needs and responses of its consumers and potential customers? Can the above be improved? 7. It has cybernetic cycles, feedback control cycles. What are the cybernetic cycles of the organization? Are there any problems with these cycles? If so, what are the problems and the possible solutions? Can additional cybernetic cycles solve any of the organization's problems or increase its efficiency? If so, what are all the details that relate to the new cybernetic cycle S? What is the nature of the new monitoring and corrections that would be involved with the new cybernetic cycle S? 8. It has different levels of intelligence. Who are the individuals that guide the organization? How is the managerial structure organized? Who are the experts in the organization? Can these experts help you solve the problem you are working on? Should the organization hire additional experts to help you solve the problem? 9. It has the ability to learn. Are there any problems that could be solved with training programs? If so, what are the problems? And what type of training program is required to alleviate each difficulty? 10. It contains many intelligent subsystems. Who are the workers and/or members of the organization? Are there any problems with any of the above? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? What is or the solution S to the problem S? 11. Its intelligent subsystems have their own goals, which are often independent of their function in the system they serve. What are the primary goals of the employees and/or members of the organization? What are the secondary goals of the people involved with the organization? Do any of the primary and secondary goals conflict with the functioning or objectives of the organization? If so, how can the conflict be eliminated? 12. Its subsystems can become destructive to the system. Are there any employees who are causing problems for the organization? If so, who are they? Can their behavior be corrected? Can they be fired? 13. Its subsystems are often dependent on the system to obtain their individual goals. What are the primary and secondary goals of the various categories of employees? Does the organization successfully satisfy the needs of the employees and/or members? 14. It contains programs, which are a set of instructions needed to carry out a task. What are the methods used? Instructions used to perform various tasks in the organization. Are there any problems with the methods used? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? What is or the possible solution S to the problem S? 15. It has a memory, which retains programs. Are the record-keeping methods of the organization adequate? If not, how can it be improved? Are computers used to store information in your organization? How effective is the storage and retrieval of computerized information? Can it be improved? 16. It uses internal communication. What are the different types of communications in the organization? Are there any problems with communications within the organization? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? What are the possible solutions to the problems? 17. It uses external communication. What are the methods used to communicate to those outside the organization? Are there any problems with the methods of communication? If so, describe the problem S. 18. It is generally in competition with similar entities. Who are the organization's competitors? Is the organization having trouble competing successfully? How can the organization become more competitive? 19. It must be strong enough to deal with dysfunctions. Does the organization have an adequate capital base? How much is the net value of the organization? How much money is available to handle problems that may develop in the future? What types of problems can the organization successfully handle? What types of problems might destroy the organization? How can these problems be avoided? 20. It must be strong enough to deal with adverse environmental conditions. What environmental conditions might cause a problem for the organization? What are the chances of such problems occurring in the next 5 years? Can the organization afford to deal with these problems? Can the organization be made stronger so it can deal with these problems? 21. The strongest entities survive and the weakest become extinct. What are the survival requirements of the environment that your organization is in? What survival characteristics does the organization have? What are the survival characteristics of organizations similar to yours that have been in existence for more than 50 years? Does your organization have these characteristics? If not, can your organization change in such a way as to incorporate the missing survival characteristics? 22 Biological factors and dynamics are involved. What are the relevant biological factors and dynamics for the problem you are working on? Are there any problems with the biological factors or dynamics associated with the organization? Are there any health problems that are affecting the functioning of the organization? If so, how can the problems be remedied? Does the organization cause any health problems as a result of stress, pollution, accidents, etc.? If so, how can these difficulties be remedied? 23 Psychological factors and dynamics are involved. What are the relevant psychological factors and dynamics for the problem you are working on? Are there any emotional difficulties causing problems in the organization? Are there any stubborn people in the leadership position causing problems or preventing progress? What is the explanation S for the problem S you are working on? What are the possible solutions to the problem S? 24 It is governed by the legal structure. A major set of factors that organizations must deal with is the law, which includes preventing and resolving legal problems. What are the laws that relate to your organization? Are there any legal ramifications associated with the problem you are working on? If so, how can these legal problems be solved? 25 Organizations are often changed in desirable or undesirable ways by government financial policies, such as taxation, government subsidies, or lucrative contracts. Are there any taxation problems with your organization? Are there any tax loopholes that your organization can legally use? Are there any government grants available for projects that your organization plans to carry out? What are all the possible subsidies, grants, or contracts that your organization might possibly obtain from the government? 26 Complex organizations are often changed in desirable or undesirable ways by the political climate and the resulting legislation. Is the current political climate causing a problem, or worsening a pre-existing problem? If so, are there any alternative methods of effectively dealing with these problems under the adverse political climate? 27 Organizations must plan their internal course of action to survive and obtain their goals. What are the organization's long-term plans? Are these plans sound? If not, how can they be made into realistic and constructive plans? What are the deficiencies in the plans? What additional plans would you suggest for your organization? What are the primary and secondary goals of the organization? Are there any problems with these objectives? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? 28 Economic factors and dynamics are primary components for the complex organization. How much financial risk can the organization safely tolerate? What is the debt of the organization? What is the net worth of the organization? How does the business cycle influence or change the functioning of the organization? What is the estimated cost to solve the problem you are working on? How can this sum of money be obtained? Can the organization finance the cost to solve the problem? Are there any government grants that can provide funding for your problem-solving effort? 29 Technological developments and related factors are primary concerns for some complex organizations. Can the problem you are working on be partly or totally solved with technology? If so, what is the technology? How much does this technology cost? Are there any technological problems in your organization? If so, how can these problems be solved? 30 Sociological factors and dynamics are important for most organizations. What sociological factors and dynamics are involved with the problem you are working on? Is the problem you are working on primarily of a sociological nature? What are the current trends that may affect your organization? Will these trends hurt or help your organization? How can your organization make the best of the current trends? 31 Cultural components and dynamics are important for most complex organizations. What type of cultural climate is your organization surrounded by? What culture are the workers from? What culture does your organization serve? Are there any problems that relate to culture in your organization? If so, what is the explanation S for the problem S? What are all the possible solutions to the problem? Note, as already stated, there are many other questions throughout this book that are designed to be used with this problem-solving methodology. The questions that relate to your problem can be found under the relevant chapter headings. The above problem-solving methodology and the entire discipline of management theory and organizational behavior can be made more useful by conceptualizing to certain entities which are not usually considered organizations as organizations. For example, the family can be conceptualized as a complex organization, because it is an organized set of people, tools such as cooking utensils, machines, household appliances and workspace the house. Even a single individual living alone can be conceptualized as a complex organization, because most single individuals have an organized group of people, such as friends, relatives, doctors, employers that they rely on. And of course a single person is likely to have the physical possessions that relate to the complex organization. Thus, the above problem-solving methodology and much of the discipline of management theory and organizational behavior can be used to solve some of the problems we all face in life.